Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries, and we're going to jump right in today with our returning guest, Dr. John Swanson, who's agreed to be with us as a partner each second Thursday and Saturday of the month as we're going through a series which we have entitled Building Biblical End Time Perspective. And today we're on part three, and we are going to be referencing the book of Daniel. And all the prior programs in this series can be found on our website at heartofthesaviorministries.org. And all you have to do is click on the broadcast tab and select programs January 12th, February 9th, and March 9th. So once again, I want to encourage you to grab a pen and a piece of paper so you can take notes along the way. And along with any questions you might have that you can send us so that we can answer them in upcoming programs about this, because this is a crucial topic. So, Dr. John Swanson is the Executive Director of Endurance Ministries, which addresses cultural affairs in light of the eschatological end times data in God's inerrant word. And he has ministered as an instructor in Bible colleges and seminaries around the world and here at home. And he continues to be amazed at the growing skepticism toward the most basic truth in Christ Jesus. And John, to start this time together, I'd like to look at three stories of Daniel that we can find in chapters 1, 3, and 6. And I'm going to try to share how these three stories or examples are applicable or transferable to today. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely, Leslie. And by way of review of what we've said in this series introduction during the January broadcast, it's crucial we have a sound knowledge base, a source which speaks truthfully on the topic of our days just prior to our Lord's return. Truly, if we have anything at all to offer, anything of worth, it must be based on divine revelation from the one who knows. When we build on his precepts, we find insight second to none, and blessings there.
Blessings.
Amen. When we don't, though, for one foolish reason or another, we hurt ourselves and we hurt those around us. Indeed, as Psalm 11:3 states, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If we choose to reject the very means God provides to help us avoid becoming deceived, we are not only showing rebellion against him, but we're hurting ourselves because of the consequences we will bear as a result of our hard-hearted actions. These consequences even possibly include eternal ones. So it's a blessing knowing that today we're emphasizing God's truth foundation, his word, as we speak to these important end time issues, as opposed to building end time perspective on the basis of our petty human opinion. Pretty cool. God is good. So thank you, Leslie, for going to a truthful source as we seek correct guidance toward being his lights in this dark day.
Oh, amen, John. Okay, then on to three pertinent stories from Daniel. So my first example is Daniel 1. And it was when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came and besieged Jerusalem, and he carried away not only all the gold and the articles from the temple, but he took the chosen royal family and nobility into captivity to serve him in his palace, and one of those, of course, was Daniel. And as part of that assimilation into that culture, they changed his name from Daniel to Belshazzar. I can't say it. You say it.
Belshazzar. No, I won't,
'cause I can't. But no. Daniel said in his heart that he and his three fellow detainees would not defile themselves with their false gods or practices, and they even refused to eat the royal food. And after a brief testing by their guard, because, you know, if something had happened to him, the guard would probably get in trouble if their health declined. But what he found is that they were even better off than the other prisoners.
Yes.
And above that, for those four young men, they were given knowledge and understanding by God. And Daniel was even gifted with the gift of understanding of visions and dreams of all kinds. So, you know, God rewards those who follow his ways.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, so my second example is Daniel 3. And once again, Nebuchadnezzar's dream is what it's titled in the Bible. And he has a dream that his astrologers and his seers and his mystics, they can't interpret. And he ordered them all killed, including Daniel. And when the guard came to get Daniel, Daniel asked to see the king because he wanted to hear the dream and have a chance to interpret it. And he then, after he got permission from the king, returned to his friends, and they pled. They pled for mercy from God, that the mystery of that dream would be revealed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God is faithful to those who seek him. So Daniel returned to the king and not only asked that he not execute all the wise men of Babylon,
right,
but interpreted the dream, explaining that only God could reveal these kinds of mysteries. So in other words, he gave God all the glory, and he showed mercy, asking that the others not be killed either, which I think is pretty incredible.
Mm.
You know, and in times of trouble, in all times, actually, we're to seek God for his wisdom and revelation into situations so that we can be in God's will in how to respond. Okay? Mm-hmm. My third example is Daniel in the lion's den, found in Daniel 6. We all know this one. And you know, that men conspired against him to find something to charge him with that he might fall from the grace of the king and be killed. And when they found him without fault, of course, they devised a wicked plan that would go against Daniel's commitment to follow God first and foremost. So, of course, a decree was made that they couldn't pray to any other god but Nebuchadnezzar, right? Mm-hmm. And he refused to, and he immediately went home and went up on the roof, and he got down on his knees and prayed, and he was found out, and they threw him in the lion's den. But the next morning, the king actually went, because he was worried about Daniel, because he liked him. And he found that God had sent his angels to protect him. So, you know, those who had falsely accused him were then thrown in instead. And the king wrote a decree that all nations and people of every language in all the earth, which I had never quite read all that language in all the earth, were to fear and reverence the God of Daniel. So once again, endurance to finish the race set before us and not be tempted to go against God's word, even unto death.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen. The theme of patient and enduring perseverance to the end does indeed present itself in these awesome accounts of ancient history. Yes, Leslie. Did you find the diagram on page 185 of our book to be of additional help in preparing today's introduction?
Oh my goodness, that book is so dog-eared and tabbed with sticky notes because it has such great resource material in it. And yes, I did a lot, and I got a lot of insight for end-time living on that page just alone. So it's a great book to have.
Yes, Lissy, and so applicable for today. The general theme of these three stories you've just highlighted is tied to apostasy versus remaining true. Spiritual darkness and the world would strongly encourage those of us in Jesus Christ to fall away from the faith, and yet God wants just the opposite from us. We are told to stay true to our Lord as these days of the end unfold. The book of Revelation, time and time again, calls God's people in Jesus Christ to be overcomers, to endure. For example...
Wait. John, stop. I know we affirm the whole counsel of God's word, but today we're wanting to focus on Daniel, not Revelation, even though I love it. Can you hold off on highlighting God's counsel in this book, Revelation, until May?
You're right, Leslie. I'm sorry.
John, I don't fault you for your passion.
I know, Leslie. I know.
I just want us to glean some of the pertinent treasures from Daniel today and leave the book of Revelation for next month.
Thank you. And let's do so. But let's proceed in a way that's culturally relevant, especially emphasizing current application. Can we do that today?
Okay. You know, John, God's word is so miraculous. At least it is to me. And thousands of years after this book of Daniel was written, we still find it. It's so applicable to life today. So let's take this theme of faith endurance and apply it to our contemporary setting.
Amen. Over 2,500 years after the penning of this book, it continues to speak on huge contemporary issues. So who says the Bible is an outdated book for today? Not for today. Crazy. It's crazy. And as you've suggested, we must either improve on or continue discerning our culture's deceptions, for they are many these days. Leslie, we must, and we can better do so as we continue reading and heeding his word.
So in light of your blog, that is blog B717 on this topic, it's now archived on your website, currentmatters.org. And toward the end of discerning present culture in light of the thematic counsel from the book of Daniel, give us pertinent contemporary example of deceptive appeal. One from the recent movie Silence.
Leslie, where do I start? I mean, which example of deception should I cite?
Well, I know there are multiple deceptions appealing for compromise in this film, but why don't you highlight the one which was the Japanese inquisitor bringing a blatant contradiction?
You mean the one concerning the mandate to apostatize?
That's the one. But you know, as he makes his appeal to a missionary under arrest, he does so in a totally contradictory way. You know, when he says, quote, "It's not necessary to win anyone over to one side or another," unquote.
That one. Listening audience, you need to know the setting in which this Japanese inquisitor makes this hypocritical statement. In the middle of saying this, again, this being, "It is not necessary to win anyone over to one side or another," this same inquisitor is mandating the missionary recant. Do you see the irony here? The outright contradiction in this? The inquisitor makes this appeal in the setting of demanding that the missionary embrace his side or else.
Or else.
What hypocrisy! It flies in the face of the test of truth called viability. This Buddhist does not live the very appeal he makes, one which allows folks their side. And by the way, this is happening a lot these days in our so-called wise, tolerant society. Well, instead, those in the movie who believe differently than he does, that is, the inquisitor does, they have to embrace his side. So as he actually says in the movie, right after saying it's not necessary to win anyone over to one side or another, he then proceeds to say to the missionary, quote, "Go on," unquote. Leslie, do you know what the inquisitor is referring to when he says "go on"?
He's requiring that the missionary to convert over to his side, Buddhism, and to drop his allegation to Christ and the Roman Church.
Exactly. What fallacy? What hypocrisy and contradiction? And yet this movie boldly goes on to make further appeals to apostatize in numerous ways.
How so, John?
Do you have an hour?
Well, no, in fact, we have less than 12 minutes and 30 seconds, but I believe this is so important for us to hear these sneaky attacks hidden in current media and movies that we're being besieged with. Can you highlight the warrants the film employs to support the call for the missionary to fall away in this short, less than 12 minutes now, time frame?
I'll try.
You know, you're the professor here, so it's up to you. You better.
Yes, ma'am. Leslie, do you recall the first Harry Potter movie?
Oh, yeah. That was quite the topic around our household and in our church community for some years.
Well, in this commercial for modern-day witchcraft, the movie holds nothing back. It offers Harry and other willing individuals riches, fame, power, and prestige. If one gets involved in magical practices, all of these are used to entice Harry and the viewing audience into witchcraft. Well, this film, Silence, in a similar way, also uses powerful reasons to justify another wrong act, the act of denying the Lord of Glory.
That's scary.
Yeah. Well, for example, as the missionary's esteemed mentor has left the faith, so too should he. Number two, if you recant, the missionary is told, the torture of other believers will stop. So be loving and stop their torment as it's all in your hands, he's told. You're the one who determines their fate.
That one's really going low.
It's dark. And number three, God himself is even misrepresented in the movie. He is misquoted to call for concession. For in this film, God, Christ Jesus, is said to say this, quote, "Come ahead now. It's all right. Step on me. I understand your pain. I was born into this world to share men's pain. I carried this cross for your pain. Your life is with me now. Step," unquote. In other words, even Christ himself is telling the missionary that it's okay to deny the faith. Leslie, when I first took in this film, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. God, even a second time, as he talks once again to the missionary, encourages apostasy. You see, as the movie presents it anyway, it's only in the setting of apostasy that God breaks his silence. The first time God breaks his silence is to encourage public denial. The second word from God comes after the act of apostasy has taken place. In this, God is made out to affirm the act of denial. If one does, that is, if one steps on the image of Christ, symbolizing a denial of him, if one publicly denies Christ, it's okay. one still has relationship with God. In fact, this film inferences an even better relationship with God because, having denied the Lord, God is now no longer silent. Leslie, this is a lie from the pit of hell. What deceit! Jesus Christ tells his followers just the opposite. He says those who endure to the end will be saved. In fact, he says many times and in many ways the same. Do you see how deceptive this film is? So I ask you, what is this film demonstrating really?
You know, this just makes me sick to my stomach, John, that there will be those who watch this movie and think it will be okay to deny Christ or take the mark of the beast, as one well-known pastor recently told his congregation they couldn't still be saved. It's so against God's word, and we must hold on to God's word. But as for your question about do I see the deception of this film and what it's demonstrating, it clearly shows me that we continue in a spiritual battle unto the saving or the damning of souls.
Wow. Yeah, this movie has Satan's fingerprints all over it. He, over 2,500 years since the appeals to compromise and fall away, well, as highlighted in the book of Daniel, for example, Satan continues today to make similar mandates in ways most consistent with his dark character. In deceitful ways. Wow. I mean, wow.
Yeah, I'm almost speechless, John, because I still keep thinking about that movie and how they portrayed God in saying that because you could deny Christ, that then you had a real relationship with God, yeah, and he was no longer silent. It's like God isn't silent.
Yeah, the deception is amazing in
it's
this
amazing.
Film.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, in getting back to God's counsel to us, from the book of Daniel, as Daniel and the others discerned their cultural appeals to compromise their faith and resist that evil, so too must we, I think, better discern our culture and say no to its appeals to compromise. For I believe, you know, it's eternity that's at stake. At least for me, it's eternity's at stake.
Amen. In the light of the word, there are some eternal consequences that we cannot embrace. Again, in light of the Word of God. Well, may we, like others in God's family, say no to the appeals to Satan's enticements to fall away, for they are dangerous, and they do indeed bear various eternal consequences.
Thank you.
Yeah, a confession, Leslie? I don't get it. Why is it that some of God's church today, in America especially, don't seem willing to bow to our Lord's counsel to remain true? We have to stop compromising. Yes, I confess I'm saddened today by so many who name the name of Christ, but who, in lifestyle practice, refuse to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and who are unwilling to take up their crosses, that is, to die to self, and walk under the control of God's precious Holy Spirit.
You know, John, before we went on the air, I mentioned to you that I had the opportunity to hear Georgine Rice, who's also on KPDQ in the afternoons from 4 to 6 on the FM side. Mm-hmm. I heard her speak this past weekend, and she spoke on the courage to stand up for your convictions. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just being there and speaking up for your convictions. It was the danger of not and allowing other people to keep you silent. It's just as dangerous. Mm-hmm. It was really good, and I want to be sure and get that to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so John, we're in the Old Testament today, and if you were to encourage us to read a book in the New Testament, which especially addresses this theme of apostasy and its polar opposite.
Okay.
Endurance, that is, staying true to the Lord. What book would that be?
You know, we all need to read or reread and reread again.
Reread again.
The book of Hebrews.
Okay.
God has so much counsel for us in this relevant for today book. So here's my suggestion at this juncture. Let's do so. Let's read the book of Hebrews between now and our next broadcast together, could we?
Absolutely. Can you give me just one quick little reference or example from Hebrews? I caught you off guard.
Well, the example of Hebrews 4 that talks about the powerful nature of God's word penetrates. And that's just not for those who were of the first century. It's for us today.
It's for us today.
To the very depth of our being. Well, the two-edged sword.
The two-edged sword.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great challenge, John. And
thank you for that test, Liz.
Yeah.
I love you.
Ha-ha, I got him. You know, and speaking of our next End Time broadcast with Dr. John, don't forget to join us the second week in May when we, Lord willing, will glean from the book of Revelation. But in the meantime, listen, audience, your assignment is to read the book of Hebrews and reread it. But make some notes as to God's counsel for us today and have those ready, because we'll be willing to answer any of your questions if you send them to us.
Oh, and let's remember to ask Him for His help as we seek to understand His Word. In fact, let's pray now.
Oh, please do.
Lord, help us, please, Your people in Christ Jesus, Your Son, to better discern that Your Word has so much to offer us in these end of days. Help us better appreciate Your end time counsel to us. And open our eyes to the fact that Your counsel is graciously extended because of Your great love for us. Oh, and Lord, as Your precious Holy Spirit within us continues in ministry to us and through us by Your mercy and grace, may a part of that ministry be ongoing illumination as we read Your holy word. In Jesus Christ's glorious name, help us, O Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, John. Mm-hmm. You know, because our loving Savior cares so very much for us, you know, we're His sheep, and we are living in the setting of the days just prior to His return, and that's our days, mind you. God has graced us with His crucial counsel, and His counsel, which we need to be listening to, given the eternal consequences, and tied to failing to heed His word at this time, right?
Yeah.
So we want to tell everybody to be sure and listen in on May 11th and 13th to hear the next part of this series, where we will continue to address this building biblical end times perspective. And we're going to be using the book of Revelation. So don't let that scare you off, listening audience. You will be blessed abundantly. John, any final concluding words before we say goodbye for today?
Two things. First, thank you, dear listeners. Thanks for correctly discerning the importance of this crucial contemporary topic. Our Lord wants us to be ready for His coming, and a willing listening spirit is surely an important early step in preparing as He wants His church to prepare. Second, we'd like to offer you, the listening audience, another gift. Last month we offered a free Bible. This month we'd like to offer a free DVD featuring the life of Polycarp. This man of faith sweetly demonstrated a crucial aspect of our faith walk, loving endurance to the end. As a result of this common theme, we're offering this quality DVD to you at this time. Simply go to blog B17, which again is posted on our 2017 first quarter archive blog page on our currentmatters.org site. And once you're there, you'll find the details to request this timely presentation.
It is a great DVD, and I have watched it several times. I thank you for sending it to me. Well, John, once again, thank you for coming in and sharing with us. And, you know, I'm really excited about this series that we're doing and the fact that you have joined us here regularly the second Thursday and Saturday of the month. You know, it's about what the Word actually says and those truth foundations. And thank you for helping us build a true biblical end time perspective. I really appreciate all the work that you put in on this. Thank you. From my heart, thank you.
It's a privilege.
Well, folks, we hope you go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you'll make God's Word the every breath you take this week. Plant His Word in your heart. Wear it on your forehead. Meditate on it day and night, for that is where the truth lies. The truth that matters, right?
God's Word.
All right. John, I want to thank you for the offers that you've been giving our audience. Again, this time it's the DVD on Polycarp, and it's a great one, a really great one. So, as always in His service, this is Reverend Leslie Nelson and my guest, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries. Thanks for joining us today.